When I was thinking about that sermon for today, several thoughts went through my mind with these particular texts that we're going to be reading. But the one thing that stood out really was in the world of addiction and alcohol reform and rehabilitation, one of the things that they keep telling people who are in recovery, walk the talk. And it's something I heard about three times during the past week when I was listening to different conversations and people were talking about walking the talk. Walk your faith. Live your faith. Don't just jibber-jabber. Live it. Prove it. Do it. Don't be lax because you'll just slip back to the way you were. That's what it means in recovery programs. Walk the talk. And it does make sense. It makes a great deal of sense, too. One particular minister I was talking to this past week, who's my favorite to just jibber-jabber around, and he is retired, and where did we meet of all places in Publix? And we were having a theological conversation when we were rudely interrupted by somebody who didn't know what we were talking about and entered into the conversation anyway. And we talked about the same thing. And she gently nudged him and he gently nudged her and we laughed about walking your faith, about living your faith. And I said, well, the church is going through some troubled times now. And he said, you're 4 years younger than I am, which always makes me feel good. I feel like sucking my thumb when everybody says that. But anyway, he said, the church has always done this and gone through ups and downs and problems and not to do anything. And he said, where I'm going now, a very large church, he said, they're having trouble. They're really having trouble. Not just for one, but of three services, even warranting three services. They're thinking about doing away with one because nobody's there. And he said, when we have our study program and I'm there prepared to teach a class, I get one person. And I don't want to teach my wife. The church. And that's really what it's all about. What's the incentive to believe? Barbara gave me an article. Was it in Time magazine? Yes, it was Time. One of the August issues we had. And it was about the new churches that are growing up, particularly in California. Not in Northern California. I think it must be in the southern part. Atheist churches. Makes sense. You gather together on a Sunday morning and talk about the world's problems and then go out and have coffee. That's the atheist church. It's a good thing to form an atheist church because you get a 501c3 status by the revenue department. That's really what it's all about. I can't imagine an atheist church. Walk the talk. We do it pretty well in McLeod. Believe me, a lot of you really prove walk the talk. Open your Bibles. This text is really wonderful. And I'm going to turn and look at the choir too so they won't go to sleep when I'm preaching. Matthew 21, and we didn't put any Bibles up here for you, but if you have your iPads, you can open up your iPads too. That might be easier to do than the 21st chapter, verses 23 through 32. The authority of Jesus is questioned, and then it goes into the parable of two sons. Both of them tie together. They separate, it's 27 in your Bible, but they fit together as we shall see. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him By what authority are you doing these things, they ask, and who gave you this authority? And Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we're afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Now, it sounds like twisted here, doesn't it? But the exciting thing about this scripture was the chief priests and the leaders of the temple were totally confused with this man called Jesus Christ. They were totally confused about everything he said. They just couldn't figure him out. While doing some good things, they wanted to know really by whose authority was he doing those good things, even when he was breaking the law. Remember, doing things on the Sabbath? Bad stuff. Jesus responded in typical rabbinic conversation with a question, which was the standard way of answering something. John the Baptist's authority. And the priests and the elders and the other leaders of the temple were upset because they didn't want to upset the crowd. They didn't want to really do anything at all. How can we answer this guy? We don't know. We don't know. Now, the interesting part of these two chunks of scripture, Jesus didn't play a game with the leaders of the church, of the establishment. He didn't play a game with them. He did not play a game, because in reality he was simply doing the will of God. And here we see really in these two areas the old religion of rules and laws confronting the new life that we are expecting to be in Jesus Christ. New life in Christ, minus a lot of the restrictions and the controls and the tightness that those elders and chief priests had used. Now, to make his point from that, I said the two areas are together. To make his point, Jesus goes into the parable of the two sons. The first son pleases the parent and then disappoints him. The second shames the parent but ends up doing the right thing. How often do we do this? This is the application. How often do we do this? I know when I look at me, I think, oh, brother, you do it too often. How often when we face a question or a decision, we ponder not what is the right answer, what is the sincere answer that we should make, but what's expedient. And we usually dodge it. We don't want to get into some hot water with people. That conversation I told you I had in Publix, how wonderful it was, because we were disagreeing on some things before we were interrupted. We were disagreeing on some things, but also agreeing on some things. And we were talking pretty bluntly to each other about the church and the state of affairs of what's going on and what isn't going on in the life of Christ's church. Not just Presbyterian. When might we be more concerned with answering a question? Not with what we think is the safe way or the right answer to make somebody feel good, to make you feel good, but with what we think and know to be the absolute truth. This is what Christ was driving at. Walk the talk. Don't just mumble jumble about it. It's not important to do that. Be honest. Be forthright. And take the bruises that come. Jesus is calling for a higher standard in these two texts here. The world's full of people who can say yes. There's a world of people out there that say yes to everything. Everything. No argument. No argument. What God wants and requires are people who can live yes. Who can live it. And that's really more difficult than you think. To live the faith. Not just skim through the easy way. Can we really look at God's way and say, that's the way I want to live? Can we look at God's way and say, that's justice? Can we look at God's way and know that we can't settle just for anything less, no matter how unpopular it is? That's what Christ is dealing with here. He's not seeking perfection. There is no perfection in Christianity, my dears. There isn't. There isn't. But Jesus is looking in our performance more than our promise. That's what he's talking about. Walk the talk. Live it. Do it. Don't just skim by. Don't ease your way around. Hard? You bet your life. But never has the need been greater in the life of the church or our nation or our world than now. Walk the talk. Say yes to Christ. Say yes. And mean it. And mean it with a vengeance. Loving God, you watch over us and give us comfort and hope. You strengthen us when we have despair. But sometimes we let us get in the way of you, and for that we ask forgiveness. Give us strength. Give us determination. Give us constancy in the yes of Christ. Amen.